Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we do get started, I want to thank everyone who supported our listener support campaign. Among those who've given, I want to thank David and Dolores. Thank you so much for your support. We'll send along access to our premium site, which we do with all donations of $7 or more. Plus, during our limited listener support campaign period, we will send along an additional thank you gift for all donations of $20 or more. Among the thank you gifts we have available, I've added a couple items I've not mentioned before. One I intended to add at the beginning, but for some reason forgot. For all donations of $50 or more, you can get a download of the Hillary Kane Mysteries. Box set 1, volumes 1 through 4. It's a radio drama series produced by Jim French Productions in Seattle, the makers of Harry Nile. It's a period piece set in 1930s England, featuring a girl detective for Tittle Tattle magazine. It's a great comedy, great period piece, very light and fun. And available at the $50 level. And at the $100 level, in addition to the other audiobooks I have available, I've added my latest superhero comedy, Powerhouse Hard Press, to the list of those that we'll send out. So, full list of items is available at support.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for us to continue with today's Johnny Dollar adventure. It's time for The Plantagenet Matter, Parts 3 and 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for
Johnny Dollar.
This is the hotel operator. Ready with your call, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, good.
Police Department, Sergeant Peters.
I want to talk to somebody in the personnel division.
Sorry, I haven't got one. What can I do for you?
I want to get some information about a gun. Find out who it was licensed to and so on.
Come down to licensing division. I think we can help you there.
Where's that?
220 City Hall. Do you have the weapon?
Yes.
Be sure and bring it along with you.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Special Investigator Johnny Dollar for personal reasons. Location, Vicksburg, Virginia. Purpose? Well, it all started as an investigation of a burglary at the Plantagenet Hotel. Once that was out of the way, I happened to run across a girl having an argument with a man in the hotel parking lot. She asked me to help her. I did. Girl suddenly gets sick and dies. Poison. I stay around to help find out who she is. I don't know that. But I do know that she had a .38 in her purse. 3 bullets recently fired. Expense account item 8, $2, cab fare. From the Plantagenet Hotel, the 2 miles into Vicksburg City Hall, in room 220, as per instructions of Sergeant Peters. I felt more than a little guilty bypassing Lieutenant Jim Akins, who had questioned me earlier about the case.
Yes?
Sergeant Peters?
That's right. Can I help you, sir?
I hope so. I'd like to know if this gun's been registered with you people.
Let's have a look. You just buy it?
Yeah.
Got your bill of sale with you?
Well, do you have to have one?
You should. Who'd you buy it from?
Oh, a fellow I met in a bar.
Have you a permit to carry this weapon?
Well, no, I haven't.
Are you going to carry it?
Oh, no, no.
Then why'd you buy it?
Oh, I just wanted it, that's all. Is there a law against that?
No, no. But there's a law against practically every other thing about a gun. You want to read those numbers off to me?
Sure. JJJ-4769-992. And then there's an X.
Okay. Make, Colt, caliber, 38, automatic, 7-shot.
Yeah.
Here, you'll have to fill this out. Pencil's over there. This will take a minute for me to check.
It took 15 minutes. In the meantime, I filled out the form, which notified the Vicksburg police that I was in possession of the above-described weapon, that I did not wish to apply for a permit to carry it, and so forth and so forth. After that, I stood around and smoked a cigarette and wondered if I should step downstairs and tell Lieutenant Jim Akins that I had found Jane Doe's purse and the gun. But before I had time to make up my mind...
Here we go. The gun was purchased in 1950 by the Piedmont Banking Service. That's a local armored truck outfit over on Maple Street. The gun was permitted for carrying to Raymond W. O'Connell, 232 Polk Street, this city.
Thanks. Raymond O'Connell.
Yeah. Anything else?
Well, that's all. Thanks. That was when I could have, but didn't, walk downstairs to Lieutenant Akin's office. Instead, I walked outside with a gun in my pocket and the slip of paper containing the name and address of the man who had carried it, Raymond O'Connell. Expense account item 9, $25. Deposit on a rented car to get me to 232 Polk Street.
Paul, darling, you're early. I'm hardly ready.
Hello.
Oh, I was expecting someone else. I'm so sorry. You're not Paul, are you?
No, I'm afraid not. My name's Johnny Dollar.
Oh. Mr. Dollar?
That's right.
Well, what can I do for you, Mr. Dollar?
I'm looking for Raymond O'Connell.
Ray?
Yes.
Come inside, Mr. Dollar.
Thank you.
I really didn't mean to throw myself at you at the door. I thought you were someone else I'm expecting. I'm Terry.
Terry?
Teresa. Terry O'Connell, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, his wife?
I'm Ray's widow.
What?
Ray's dead, Mr. Dollar. Passed away over a year ago. It was pneumonia.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mrs. O'Connell.
Please call me Terry. You had no way of knowing about him, I'm sure. And please don't be uncomfortable. A great many of Ray's friends from the service come by who have no idea that he's dead. Were you in his company, too?
Oh, just a minute, Mrs. O'Connell.
He had so many friends and met so many people while he was in the service, and really there was no way for you to know.
You don't understand, Mrs. O'Connell. I never
knew.
I'll
get you a drink and we'll talk. Where did you serve with Ray? You know, he finally became a pilot. What do you like to drink?
She was young and dark and very pretty. And as the widow of a man who died rather suddenly, she was doing her best to put me at my ease. I would have told her I was there checking out the registration on a 38 that had been used by her dead husband. I would have told her I found the gun in the purse of an unidentified dead girl I'd met the night before. But she was trying to be polite, mistaking me for a friend of her dead husband. And then I saw the picture in the frame on the mantel, a broad smiling face that belonged to a man I'd met in the parking lot of the Plantagen Hotel. An unidentified man who had been arguing with the dead girl. The words on the picture said, "To Terry, all my love."
You know him? Paul?
Paul?
Yes, Paul Dameron.
I think I met him once. I really didn't know his name. Was he a friend of your of Ray's?
Oh, no. No, he never knew Ray. He's a darling, Mr. Dollar. Paul is. A real darling. After Ray died, I tried something very foolish. I tried to end my life. And then Paul came into it. He's been very lovely to me. Well, I don't know why I shouldn't tell you. We're going to be married.
I think that's fine, Terry.
Do you really?
Sure.
I'm glad you say that. I'm not the most courageous person in the world. I suppose Ray mentioned our lives together. It was perfect with Ray, Mr. Dollar. Perfect. But now Ray's gone. And I've been able to face that. I think I'm going to find a new life with Paul. You must meet him. He'll be here soon. We're dining out tonight. Well, perhaps you'll join us.
Well, thank you, Mrs. O'Connell, but I can't make it tonight.
How long will you be in Vicksburg?
I don't know exactly.
Where are you staying?
The Plantagen Hotel.
Well, perhaps I could give you a ring and we could make it another night. I know you want to talk about Ray. Of course, Paul understands.
I'm sure he does.
He's truly a wonderful person.
He hadn't looked very wonderful the night before, standing in the parking lot arguing with a girl who had died. But then that was my side of the picture, and it wasn't complete. And somebody still had to explain the .38 with the three bullets missing. I left Terry O'Connell, went outside and bought an evening paper, and then sat in my rented car reading it. The photographer at the morgue had done a good job. The unidentified girl's picture was on page one. I was reading the story over a second time when a dark business coupe pulled up behind me and Paul Dameron got out, heading for Terry O'Connell's doorway. Just a minute.
What?
Just a minute. Hello, Paul.
What? You?
Yeah, me. Now look, Dameron.
What are you doing here? How'd you know my name? Or are you some professional gunsel coming around to sock me again? I still
Paul,
don't...
Paul, stop it, will you, Dameron? My name's Johnny Dollar. I want you to tell me who that girl was last night in the parking lot. The one you had the big argument with.
Huh? Oh. Well, you were the big hero there, butting in where it was none of your business. I didn't like it then,
All right, simmer down, will you? Who was she? Come on, what's her name?
What's it to you?
Walt Dameron.
Okay. It's Amy. Amy Duran.
Amy Duran.
Yeah. We work at the same office. Now, look, Buster, I'm not afraid of you, but I don't want any trouble, see? So if you'll just go somewhere else and...
Wait a minute, will you? How does Amy Duran tie in with Teresa O'Connell?
Look, I don't know who you are or what you're after, but you've certainly got your nerve about...
Answer me, Paul.
Okay.
Terry is Amy's sister. Satisfied?
I don't know.
Who are you, anyhow? A policeman or something?
My name is Johnny Dollar. I'm here
because if you aren't, I want to know what right you have to ask me all these questions.
Cool off, will you? I've been trying to find out who she is, because last night after you went off, we had a drink together. Then she got sick, and I took her to a hospital. She died there.
What?
She died. She's lying in the morgue right now, unidentified. It was some kind of poison that killed her.
Amy, dead? No, I don't believe it.
Here. It's in the paper tonight. The police are trying to identify her right now.
I can't believe it. Poison. Oh, Dollar, I didn't think Amy was that desperate. There was a way out. She could have solved it without this.
Way out of what?
There was no need for her to do this. I told her I'd help her. I had no idea she... Poison. Does Terry know?
Not yet.
I've got to tell her before she sees it like this in the newspaper. It'll be awful for her, Dollar, awful. Look, I apologize for the way I've acted, the way I was last night. I was upset. I can see now you're trying to help. Now, let me go in and break this to Terry. Call me later. Here, my card. Call me.
I had to admit that Paul Dameron's concern seemed as genuine as his surprise. He rushed up to be admitted to the O'Connell house. After he was inside the door, I went back to my car and took out the .38 automatic that had led me to the sister of Amy O'Connell. Three bullets still missing. I drove downtown to the Vicksburg police station to turn the gun into Lieutenant Akins and tell him the whole story as I knew it. How I'd found the gun in the dead girl's purse. How I'd managed to find out her name. The three missing bullets and other unanswered questions were up to the police.
Hi, Dollar. Thought you'd left town. Joe? All right, Joe. As soon as they clear that place up, you notify the lab.
Hi, Lieutenant. Hi. I'm trying to get to you. I think I have something that better be looked into.
Oh, excuse me. Lieutenant Akins. Yeah.
On the south side of town.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, well, in about 15 minutes. Right. I'm sorry, Della. What was it you were saying?
Why all the hustle? Something big?
Oh, homicide. Happened yesterday sometime.
Yeah? Who got it?
Guy named Belden. Somebody shot him 3 times with a .38.
Johnny Dollar.
This is Mr. Oldfield calling, sir. You left word at my office, Mr. Dollar.
That's right, Mr. Oldfield. I think I'm going to need an attorney.
Divorce? Civil suit? What, Mr. Dollar?
Withholding evidence. Murder.
Let's take the murder first. Who did it?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure I have the murder weapon in my possession right now.
Who was killed?
A man named Belden, I think.
What do you want me to do, sir?
Take my statement, notarize it, give me some legal advice.
Where are you?
Police station in the pay booth down the hall from homicide.
I'll meet you there in 5 minutes.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. Location, Vicksburg, Virginia. To Special Investigator Johnny Dollar for personal reasons. Attention, Chief Accountant, Eastern Seaboard Casualty Insurance Corporation, Providence, Rhode Island. Dear Jim, I'm attaching my own expense sheet to your bill for clarification purposes. Expense account item 10, 10 cents. One cup of coffee at the counter in the lobby of the Vicksburg Police Station while I waited for Samuel W. Oldfield, attorney at law, to appear. He was there in exactly 5 minutes.
Mr. Dollar?
That's right.
Sam Oldfield, sir. You're the only one here in the lobby, so I figured you were the right man.
Yeah. Cup of coffee, Mr. Oldfield?
No thanks. Gives me heartburn. But now sit down, will you? That was a pretty interesting phone call. Tell me, who are you, sir?
Johnny Dollar. I'm a private insurance investigator.
Mm-hmm. How'd you get my name?
I looked it up in the yellow pages of the telephone directory.
You don't live here in Vicksburg?
No, I'm from Hartford, Connecticut.
All right, sir. Now, tell me about the murder and the withholding of information.
Maybe I better start from the top.
Go right ahead, any way you like.
Well, 2 days ago, I flew down here to investigate a small burglary at the Plantagen Hotel. It was already solved by the time my plane got in.
Police?
Yeah. I had nothing better to do, so I waited around the hotel bar for my return reservation back to Hartford. Then I happened to walk outside to the parking lot for a breath of fresh air. I saw a woman and a man standing there arguing. When I got close to them, the woman asked me to help her. I did.
How do you mean?
Well, the man she was with started to act like a kid. He got rough, so I shoved him away.
Go on.
Well, the woman was upset, so I took her inside the hotel and bought her a drink. After that, I put her in a cab and started to send her on her way. She started to act sick about that.
Wait. Is this the woman whose picture was in the paper tonight? The one who died of poisoning and the police don't know who she is?
Yeah. I don't know who she is, Mr. Oldfield. Except that her name's Amy Duran. I found out her name because I found her purse and there was a gun in it. A .38 Colt registered to a man named O'Connell. I checked on the gun here at headquarters, went out to the address and found out O'Connell was a bank guard and had died about a year ago. I talked to his wife, Teresa O'Connell. While I was there, the man I'd seen the night before showed up. His name's Paul Dameron. Now, I didn't tell him or Mrs. O'Connell about the gun. I came down here to give it to the police and tell them. But when I got here, Lieutenant Akins was pretty busy trying to solve the murder of a man named Belden, who'd been shot with a .38 3 times. There are 3 slugs missing from the gun I found.
You got a light, sir?
Yeah. Here you go.
When you found Amy Duran's purse, why didn't you turn it over to the police?
Oh, I thought I... Well, somehow I thought maybe I could help the girl. I mean, her last words before she died were, "Help me." And for some reason or other, I thought maybe I could.
Do you have any cards or letters, anything like that? Something that says you're what you say you are, sir?
Yeah, sure.
Let's see. Okay, Dollar. Now, as I see it, you probably hooked up with someone who did some shooting. And that's what worries you.
I want you to take my statement and notarize it before I turn the gun in.
That'll protect you some. If they want to get nasty, they can, though. You know that.
Yeah, I know.
Well, as I see it, the main job here is to try to keep you out of trouble. And a statement explaining your motive for participation in the whole affair might help.
That's why I called you.
All right, then. Now, Dollar.
Yeah?
You didn't shoot anybody, did you?
No.
Okay, then, sir. Let's go over to my office.
We did, and I made the necessary statement, and Mr. Oldfield notarized it. After that, I went back to the Vicksburg police station to talk to Lieutenant Akins. The .38 I'd found in Amy Duran's purse was still in my pocket, and her words were still in my mind. Help me. Please help me.
Thought you was going back to Hartford, Dollar.
Oh, I decided to hang around and see what came up.
Mm-hmm. Nothing so far on the girl. No one's recognized a picture in the paper. Had to turn that over to missing persons. This murder case going to eat up all my time.
What happened, Lieutenant?
Old maid at the apartment house where this man Belden was staying found him late this afternoon. He'd been dead about 24 hours, shot with a .38.
You sure?
I'm sure. We did a post-mortem right away. It's a pretty set case.
You know who shot him?
Have a pretty good idea. See, this Belden, he was an auditor working on some books at a firm of textile wholesalers here. Richmond Limited. The papers scattered around his apartment show he'd found a $10,000 shortage going over their books. And the chief accountant for this Richmond company is missing.
Yeah, well, that does make it seem pretty clean.
Yeah, but all we have to do is find that accountant. Had an APB out for half an hour now. I think we'll pick her up pretty soon.
Her? Who?
Well, her, Dollar. The chief accountant for Richmond Limited. She's a woman. Name of, Amy Duran.
To all appearances, Amy Duran had been guilty of embezzling money and murdering the auditor Belden who discovered the shortages in her books. I didn't tell Akins that his suspect was the girl lying in the morgue at the moment unidentified. I knew that it was only a matter of minutes before her sister or Paul Dameron would be down to identify her. And for the third time, I didn't tell Lieutenant Akins about the gun. I knew if I turned that over to him, it would be a closed case all around. And somehow I didn't want it closed on Amy Duran. Not that way. For that reason, I went back to my hotel room for a couple of hours, and then about 9 o'clock that night, I found myself over on Polk Street at Therese O'Connell's house once more.
Oh.
Hello, Mrs. O'Connell.
Oh, Mr. Dollar, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, Mr. Dollar, I had the most awful news tonight. My sister Amy, she's dead. You'll have to excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry.
May I come in? I'd like to talk to you about your sister, Mrs. O'Connell.
Well, Paul came in with tonight's paper and showed me Amy's picture. He went down to the morgue to identify her. I couldn't bear to.
Sure.
I feel somehow, in some way, that you're a friend, Mr. Dollar.
Mrs. O'Connell, I am a friend, in a way. But mostly, I'm an insurance investigator.
What?
You thought I was a friend of your dead husband when I came here earlier. I'm not. I never even knew him.
But, Mr. Dollar, I don't understand.
I met your sister, Amy, last night. I was the last one to speak to her before she died. I took her to the emergency hospital last night.
Well, wait. This is all very confusing. You say you're insurance investigator?
Yes. Now, when... Well, I got your address from a gun I found in your sister's purse. I traced it through the license to carry. This gun, Mrs. O'Connell. Your husband was licensed to carry it when he worked for a banking firm. Do you recognize it?
Oh, yes, I suppose I do. I think it's one of Ray's guns.
Now, please, let me find something out first. Believe me, I do want to help. Did you know your sister had this gun?
Oh, no. What would Amy want with a gun? I mean, well, she could have picked it up here any time she came over, and probably did. But why would Amy have a gun in her purse?
Sit down, please. Now, Mrs. O'Connell, you better listen to me carefully. Sometime late yesterday afternoon or early evening, a man named Belden was shot and killed.
Clarence Belden?
Yes.
He worked with an auditing firm. Amy spoke of him. Mr. Dollar.
Wait. Listen to the rest of this. Belden had been working on books for Richmond Limited. As I understand it, your sister Amy was responsible for those books. Right now, the police have enough evidence to figure that your sister stole $10,000 from Richmond Limited.
Amy? No,
hear me out, Mrs. O'Connell. They have that evidence in bulk form. They certainly have reason to assume, and they are assuming, that your sister shot Belden to keep him quiet about the shortage.
How can you say those things about Amy when she's not here to defend herself?
Please, I'm just telling you what's going on downtown, what they've found. This gun they don't have yet. I've withheld it. It has been fired 3 times recently. Belden was shot 3 times. By now, your sister's body has no doubt been identified. They've already established that she died of poisoning, and they halfway have the idea that she committed suicide.
No.
Oh, don't you see? They'll say she shot Belden to cover up and keep it quiet, and then saw how useless it was, took poison and killed herself to escape punishment.
You're horrible. Horrible. Go away. Go away from me.
I'm sorry, but in the face of all this, I want to help her if I can, if it isn't too late. I want to help you. But, Mrs. O'Connell, you'll have to help me. Now, why? Why would your sister steal? Why?
I don't know.
I think you do know. Tell me, please, for her sake, Mrs. O'Connell.
Why? What have you got to do with her?
I met her only for a few minutes, but in that few minutes, I got the idea that she was a pretty nice person. She didn't strike me as a thief. She didn't look like a killer. And most of all, she didn't look like a woman who'd take the suicide way out of things. Now, that's all I have, except that she asked me to help her. And I'm trying to do that now. Believe me, I want to help her if I can.
I've always been an awful child, Mr. Dollar. When Ray died, I tried to kill myself. Amy saved me. I remember then, at the hospital. She was beside my bed, and she said to me, "I'll make you want to live again. I'll make you." Amy was always like that, kind and decent. You weren't wrong about her. She was decent, thoughtful, good. She did everything for me. She gave me these clothes and a car, introduced me to nice people from her office like Paul Dameron.
Yes.
That must be where all the money went to. Not on herself, but on me, for me. I'm the only reason I can think of that she'd take money from the firm.
Yeah.
I didn't know she was stealing from me. I didn't know. I wouldn't have let her do it. She didn't have to pamper me that much. I'm not that much of a child. She didn't have to do it. She didn't have to do it.
Wait. Wait a minute.
She didn't kill herself. She didn't steal. She didn't murder that man. I did all those things because it was all for me.
Now, here's our star to tell you about the final intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, all the evidence comes true. A helpless dead girl gets her help. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, either Johnny has a really big clue, or he really doesn't like to see this woman heaping false guilt on herself. Perhaps a combination of both, though it's kind of an odd exit, but we're certainly set for an interesting wind-up in this case. It's definitely interesting to see Johnny writing a report to himself. And at first glance, this may seem a little bit odd behavior, but really it's not. The report is just a way that he is comfortable writing and chronicling events. And so writing a report to himself to kind of be clear on what he is thinking and what happened to him, I think that's perfectly reasonable. And even though his status as insurance investigator has no relevance to the case, I think that it definitely does add some weight to what he says. So, all right, well, now we turn to listener comments and feedback. Ingrid writes, I heart Johnny Dollar. Rebecca adds, he is my favorite. And Margie emailed me and says, I'm part of a group that does live performances of old-time radio shows, and we recorded our performances for downloading from our website. Our shows are free as part of a community outreach, so we've never worried too much about copyright issues, especially with the 30s and 40s shows. But we were interested in doing Stan Freberg's Christmas Dragnet Christmas parody for our December show, and I wondered how you handle getting rights to put it on your website or if it is in the public domain. Please share your thoughts on this. Well, thanks so much for the question, Margie. The Freberg show wouldn't be considered radio, old-time radio, and definitely wouldn't be in the public domain. My best recommendation, given the kind of uncertain state, would be to go ahead and contact Mr. Freberg. And I sent along the address for Mr. Freberg's agency, the agency that represents him, over in Studio City, because I know that particular parody is still, Mr. Freberg still has CDs that are in print, and that particular parody, which originally appeared on the LP, not on radio, is still being sold commercially, so I would definitely recommend getting in touch with him on that. And thanks so much for keeping radio alive and reenacting it. I think it helps to give folks that experience and feel of listening and watching radio. And I haven't had that myself. I've been meaning to get over to Kirkland to see a recording of the Harry Niles show, and just have not been able to get around to it myself. But one of these days, hopefully. All right, well, that will do it for today. We will be back tomorrow with Nick Carter, and then we wrap up both the Plantagenet matter and Crime for King on Friday. So be sure and be back with us then. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. And remember to support our listener support campaign. Continues on through Sunday, support.greatdetectives.net. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.